say? Almighty God of all that is, we claim the immediate release of Yahweh Ben Yahweh, Yud Heh Wav Heh, Beth Nun Sophit, Yud Heh Wav Heh, Judith Israel, and the other incarcerated true believers and citizen of the nation of Yahweh, Yud Heh Wav Heh, and the dismissal of the indictment and charges that hold them in prison. We claim, affirm, and pray these things in the power and the name of Yahweh Ben Yahweh, Yud Heh Wav Heh, Beth Nun Sophit, Yud Heh Wav Heh, for the power, the glory, and the good of Yahweh, Yud Heh Wav Heh, Selah. Shalom.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome to Feast of Unleavened Bread 1992 at the fabulous Barclay Hotel, Atlanta's most convenient address. Welcome. It has been a joy to my spirit to be able to speak with you and to share with you the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is the vernal equinox, the beginning of spring. This is also the morning of the third day of my being in the tomb. I would like to bridge the gap just a little between where we began relative to how we pass over from the state of mind that we're in the carnal state, over to the spiritual mind, which is the real and true Passover. In order for you to enjoy the fruit of the Passover, then you need to make peace with those that love peace. You need to make a truce with those that already love righteousness. I'm speaking of you that love peace must make a truce with those that love peace. And you that love righteousness must make a peace with and a truce with those who love righteousness. I am bringing you and establishing the kingdom of Yud Heh Wav Heh, true holiness and righteousness. All of you in your respective cities must stand with the law of OCL and understand well that Mr. and Mrs. Rec must be kicked out and kept out of your lodge so that you can work together in peace and harmony. You that are harmonious in your own spirit within yourself, you must get together with and work with, join with, and write a treaty and a truce with those that love harmony. That's what this is about. And then we will see progress beyond your dreams. Some of you are being exposed to some fabulous seminars on how-to. And there's some wonderful how-to exposure for you there as relates to the universities of Yud Heh Wav Heh, as it relates to communication. Avail yourself of it in your cities. Also, make sure you get transcripts. The tapes are great, and I encourage you to get them so you can listen to them day and night. But you need those transcripts, because when you want to study, and you do need to study, then those transcript words are sitting there in a stationary form, and you can flow with them, so they're important. Last night, we were dealing with peace, and we were dealing with the spiritual aspects of peace. And I want to carry you to Galatians again, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We're talking about building the kingdom of Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh is also true holiness and righteousness. And there's a job that has to be done with each of us as an individual in order to make certain that the earth is full of the knowledge of Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh, which is found Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. I'm going to make certain that the earth is full of the knowledge of Yahweh. And it says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh as the waters cover the sea. That's what I'm here to do. And each one of you that love the idea of living in the true heaven on earth will grab hold to what I'm sharing with you, this feast, 1992. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That means you are looking for those who are bearing the fruit of love for your companions, your friends, the ones that you are going to be with and be around, be near, work with. You're looking for those whose fruit is love. And also joy. You that have a joyful spirit, find someone in your life that has a joyful spirit, the spirit of joy. And guess what? That joy doubles right away. It just doubles. There's no conflicts ever. And if there are three of you in the lodge that have the spirit of joy, it's tripled. And if there are four of you, then if you four work together, strive together, pull together, then that spirit of joy is quadruple. You see, and it just keeps multiplying exponentially as you find that kindred spirit. Believe me, that's who you want. Now, what happens is Mr. and Mrs. Rick comes into your life, and they live to destroy and disturb your peace and your joy, and they don't want to see you in harmony, not even with your own self. When they see you just happy, they want to come up and lay a story on you that will wipe out your happiness. They're very good at it. But by now, you should be able to understand that this is not a skin color game. They've been hanging out with us behind the skin color game of Satan. These are pure devils with nappy hair, big nose, big lips, big behind, and big feet. They are nothing but devils. Those are those wolves in sheep clothing, Matthew 7:15. So you must avoid these wolves in sheep clothing. Sheep clothing means they look like you, but they don't have that joy in their heart, in their mind. They don't have peace in their mind, in their heart. They have foolishness in their hearts and in their minds. So don't be taken in by the color anymore. My message has always been universal. I just come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel first. Romans chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to share that with you. Romans 2, 9 and 10 says, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Just to everybody. Matthew 15:24, I said that I come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So though you understand this, My message is still universal for every kindred and tongue and nationality, all of that. Now, the kingdom of Yuhewape is the spirit of love, the spirit of joy, the spirit of peace, and the spirit of long-suffering. I've been suffering for you for 12 years. I've been suffering for you specifically, as you can see, for 17 months in prison. You must also have this long-suffering spirit so that you can endure to the end of the total rulership of the God of this world. It's at its end. When they put their hands on me to arrest me and put me in prison, that was the sign of that doom completely in everybody's face, because we're now in the morning of the third day, and I truly am going to resurrect. Contrary to what anyone may think, it doesn't matter what they think. The entire prophecy is hinged on my resurrection. And since I am the resurrection, you can count on me resurrecting. John chapter 11, verse 25. John chapter 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection, and I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I have removed the sting of noon, the 14th Hebrew alphabet, and you now have no excuse to remain unconscious or to suffer from necrosis or brain death. Again, the kingdom of heaven is the spirit of goodness. So who do you want to be your friends? The spirit of badness? No, you can't take them for your friend because they look like you and live in the same neighborhood and work on the job with you. You want to meet the spirit of goodness to match your good spirit. And then guess what you two will accomplish together? Goodness. So the good brother wants to find a good brother to associate with. It's pure heaven. And the good sister wants to find a good sister to associate with. What will those two sisters produce? Goodness. A good man wants to find a good sister to be his companion. What will they produce? Goodness. What kind of environment in the home? Goodness. What kind of example for the children? Goodness. What kind of children would like to come out of that home? Goodness. A good woman should want to find a good man. Guess what you'll have? The same. Goodness in all that you do. Isn't that a joyful thought? That's heaven. See, I've come to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. And it begins with you. It doesn't begin with them. And you're going to go join them. No, no, no. Goodness begins with you. Peace begins with you. Righteousness begins with you. Joy begins with you. The spirit of love begins with you. The spirit of long-suffering begins with you. Then you want the spirit of goodness. Excuse me, the spirit of gentleness. The spirit of gentleness. So all of you who are gentle, you don't want a sadist for a mate. You don't want a friend who is sadistic. You want a gentle friend. That's what heaven is. You don't want someone that beats up on your spirit every day that you meet them. You want someone that's gentle with your spirit. If you're gentle, you know, mean people always look for someone gentle to try to run up to so they can beat up on them so they don't get beat back. You know, mean folk very seldom run and hunt a mean fella to be together with. Because the mean fella's mean right back. You hardly ever see two bullies run together. Bully likes to run with somebody he can bully. The kingdom of heaven is full of a spirit of faith. So you that are full of faith, You want to meet that brother and sister all over the planet Earth that's full of faith. Faith in Yud-Heh-Waf-Heh. Faith in all of the principles that I'm sharing with you tonight. That's what the Passover, you pass over from the opposites of these points here. You want a friend who is meek with the spirit of meekness. That's what you're looking for. Because you are meek. You have a meek spirit, then you want someone in your surroundings with that same meek spirit. And if your lodge is full of this, just look, the lodge is heaven. It's a place where you want to go all the time. You want to be around nothing but this kind of spirit. It just makes my soul jump for joy to just think about walking into a lodge full of meekness. For the spirit of meekness is the dominant spirit. In fact, I not only want to say the dominant, but only. The only spirit. We're talking about heaven on earth while we live 24/7. A wonderful idea in my mind and a reality for all who will accept it. The kingdom of heaven carries the fruit of the spirit of temperance. The spirit of the fruit of temperance. I wonder what temperance means. Out of all of these words that I have given you, these attributes, these qualities, you must study them. In order for you to possess meekness, you must study meekness, joy, righteousness, peace, faith. You must study them. So temperance sort of touched my heart, and I want to call your special attention to it. You that are temperance, that have a spirit of temperance, that's who you want to be your friend. You go make truce with the person that already has a spirit of temperance, not someone you have to try to convert to the spirit of temperance. That's pretty difficult. I spent 12 years teaching the ghetto mindset. And after 12 years, the ghetto mindset has risen to attack me. I cast my pearls before a shrine, and they turned to rend me. According to Matthew 7:6, I was told not to do it. Matthew 7:6-8, I was told, don't give my pearls to who? The swine, nor my wisdom to the dogs, or that which is holy to the dog. Don't give it to them. But I did it. I came as a mercy, so I end up in prison because I did. If I had never come to the dogs and the swine, I wouldn't be in prison. None of you with the spirit of temperance and love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance, if I had only come to you, we'd already have heaven completely established on the planet. But then I'd have to fight about how I would fulfill the prophecy of going into the tomb and rising from the dead. I'd have to try to explain that. So I need victory over death in the grave in order to make certain this is established. However, since I'm teaching you this tonight, then you have no excuse but to grab it and go with it. Those of you that have the spirit of temperance, you have a spirit of moderation. That's what it means. You have a spirit of moderation. You don't overindulge in things that would destroy you. We sometimes let our appetites rule over us. Various appetites. That's how some get too many pounds, those little sweet inner tubes running around the waist, and you don't know whether to roll over sideways or walk. I hope you're laughing like I am, but you know, some of us just don't have that spirit of moderation, so we just follow that taste bud and we just eat day and night. You know, sometimes I wonder, how do you stay so fat, especially when you claim you eat so little? But I'm not going to make fatness my subject. We're just having a little fun But I'm serious about the spirit of moderation. That's the kingdom of heaven. So you want a mate that has the spirit of moderation. Otherwise, you got a car riding down the road with ties about to burst from two of y'all weighing 500 pounds each. It takes a mighty car to hold you. Call it the fat mobile. When I talk about fat people, some people get offended, but just lose that weight. You know, take on the spirit of moderation. You'll make it. Excuse me as I recover. Some things to me are very funny. As I bring you the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven, which carries with it, temperance is the spirit of self-restraint. See, I mean, let's get back to fat people for a minute. See, it's dangerous to have two people love food with no control of their appetite. I mean, your whole entire check is gone into the cabinet. It gets to be pretty interesting in that home. So let's remember that temperance includes self-restraint. Temperance also carries with it the spirit of self-control. Self-restraint. Self-control. Not you need someone to say, you don't, don't eat that. Don't do that. No, you govern yourself. That's what becoming gods is all about. Have you not heard that you are God? Children of the Most High? Part of the Psalms 82:6? Yeah, well, gods exercise temperance, moderation, self-restraint, self-control. You don't just marvel at, oh, Yahweh is so temperate. He is so moderate. He is so under such self-control. Yes. I can exhibit that at any moment concerning anything. What about you? It's a pleasure for me to be in the presence of those who are able to exercise self-restraint and self-control, who can put first things first, have a job to do, and set all other things of self-indulgence aside and exhibit self-control. I love those kind of gods. And it's without gender. No one can deceive me and say, oh, it's just women that don't have self-control. No. That is not true. This is without gender. Both male and female are capable of temperance, moderation, self-restraint, and self-control. So I look for it, and we should look for it. Temperance includes refrainment and the spirit of forbearance, the spirit of abstinence. Ooh, most of us don't like to hear that word. No. Don't. Let's hear it. You were getting along just fine talking about heaven. So you start talking about abstinence. You mean to tell me I am supposed to abstain from something when I can't imagine myself abstaining from anything? Well, the laws of Yahweh require abstinence in many areas of our lives during many specific points of our life. And it certainly includes the moon, the lunar control of the feminine gender. And you see, that self-restraint, self-control, and abstinence does not just apply to the female.
That's right.
Sometimes it's the male that seems to have the most difficulty with that. You know, call 7 days. And especially when I stretch it to 8. And some be watching the sun go down on the 7th, standing at the window in the west, looking at the sun set every day, talking about abstinence. Some just want to count to 3 or four and don't want to count to seven or eight. Now, abstain. What are you talking about? Law of Yahweh. Yes, I am. It makes for health and a long life. The wisdom of abstinence concerning the period of issue brings us nothing but health, a healthy life in a healthy condition. And of course, uncleanness of issues is in Leviticus chapter 15. Read it. It certainly requires abstinence under certain specific conditions. I'm not asking you to be celibate. Go ahead and start breathing again. Relax. Relax. It's okay. It's okay. Relax. I did not say celibate. I know some of you, when I said abstinence, you thought I was spelling celibacy. No, no, relax, children. We must have children. Yeah, I know you all like that, be fruitful and multiply, but let's be fruitful. Let's have the fruit of the spirit of joy and peace and love and happiness and long-suffering and gentleness. And let's multiply that spirit. Let's multiply that spirit. We must also exercise in our temperance not only the spirit of abstinence, but non-indulgence. Non-indulgence. There are a lot of laws that Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh gives us that deals with non-indulgence. For example, our diet. No pork is just but one of all the clean and unclean things. In Leviticus chapter 11, read it. It gives us many unclean things that we are not to indulge in. That's a non-indulgence, period. Non-indulgence altogether. Also, Deuteronomy chapter 14 will give you laws on diet. It's talking about non-indulgence. Some of us, we know what we do that tears our body up. And sometimes we just go on and follow our taste buds anyway. And then we be paying prices for it. You know, we suffer and have pain. And our body erupts like volcanoes. All kinds of stuff. And then we become specialists. We sound almost like doctors. We can... You probably hear a lot of laughter because there's a lot of guilt running around. It's not just you who are listening to me on this night, but there are those right around me who have to laugh too. But we must understand there are many laws that deal with non-indulgence that we are to be in control of, that is a blessing for us. It's not a curse to give up those things which cause eruptions. Some of them may only result in a few pimples or big blackheads, but see, some turn to little tumors. Then those little tumors become big tumors. Some become malignant. And that gets to be none funny. So it's better to deal with non-indulgence than to deal with none funny. Thought you'd like to understand it's much easier to have a mate or to have a friend that you can trust, that when they bring you some cookies or some item to eat, you can trust them to have read the ingredients and have knowledge of the contents, that it is quote-unquote kosher or clean or edible according to the laws of Yahweh, which protect our health. I'd like to believe that whenever I meet a Hebrew Israelite, that I can eat safely from their table and eat safely from their hand. I'd like to believe that, but I've learned over the years I had better question and ask, may I see the box or the package that this comes from? I would like to be able to trust you, but my experiences have taught me that, would you let me read, would you get my glasses, please, somebody, and let me read the contents? Because we have some people that have the form of godliness, but deny the power. And that's because they don't have the spirit of non-indulgence. So I need temperance can also deal with celibacy, but that's for... Fasting, Puritanism and austerity, self-mortification. The spirit of temperance carries with it the spirit of self-deprivation. That doesn't mean go get chains and beat yourself, or go lock yourself up in a cage and throw the key away. It doesn't mean that either. Study it. There's a certain amount of self-denial and asceticism that you must have. Temperance also includes teetotalism. You know, you don't get drunk in the kingdom of heaven. Sorry, you just don't get drunk. You just don't. That's why you have self-control. You have the spirit of sobriety and soberness. That's the spirit that women must have in Israel. We have scriptures that deal with that. The woman must be sober. And a spirit of chastity, sober-minded. How can a mother direct her daughters if she's not sober-minded? That's found in Titus chapter 2, verse 3. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given too much wine. See, I'll let you have a little wine, but come on, sister, don't get carried away where you don't know where you are and don't know what you're doing and claim you got in trouble because you had a little too much wine. No, you'd be a little too much out of the kingdom. So you can't be given too much wine now. I'll let you have some. It's over here in the New Testament. I didn't say you couldn't have any, but not given too much wine. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, good, to be good, and obedient to their own husbands, that the word of Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh be not blasphemed. See what your duties are, sisters? See what your duties are? Well, what about us, brothers? Same. You can't expect her to be holy and you're not going to be. She's supposed to be in love with holiness and you're not? No. It doesn't work like that. In verse 6, it says, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. It's just something we must understand. Men, the aged men, you are to be sober, grave, temperate. There it is. Sound in faith, charity, and patience. See, you're supposed to be temperate. These words are not made up that I'm giving to you tonight. So, this is a powerful scripture we have here in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. So we also want to take a look here. I believe it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Second Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 16, I believe. And it says, now Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh, the Lord of peace himself, give you peace always by all means. The Lord Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh be with you all. That's from me to you. See, I am the Lord of peace. And from myself, I'm giving you peace always by all means. That's so precious. That's what the kingdom of heaven is all about. And remember that these attributes that I have given to you tonight out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, there's no law against these attributes. You hear what I said? Against these attributes, there is no law. No law forbids you to exercise these attributes of righteousness, peace and joy and love, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There's no law against it. Now, we understand that the enemy of heaven is going to try and induce you or tempt you away from these qualities. But as I stated to you the first night that we began this class on the Passover, how to pass from hell over to heaven. How to pass from hell over to heaven. All you need is peace to destroy Satan's kingdom. This spirit of peace will absolutely destroy Satan, cause his defeat, and bring about victory for us. I believe the clock on the wall has reached about 45 minutes, and I've enjoyed bringing you this message tonight. I have to be up early. They'll be awakening me at 4:30, whether I like it or not, in the morning to bring me a breakfast that I will not eat and never do, but they wake me anyway. And I'll have another long day in the courtroom as I continue my suffering for you, looking for a divine intervention from the hand of Almighty Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh. And I look to come to these attributes that I have spoken to you on tonight. This is the group I'm looking to be with and among all of you who have these attributes that I've taught on you tonight. And I shall continue with my counsel's permission. I'll either have 15 minutes with you tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's Thursday night? Yes, I'll be able to be with you longer. I can stay with you for 45 minutes to an hour tomorrow night. So I look forward to that. And Friday and Saturday, possibly. We'll have a good time. I'm having a joyful time as usual. Though my body is separated from you, my spirit is there. And my spirit is permeating the planet Earth, the universe, the galaxy, intergalactic, throughout infinity. No one can bind me. I'm truly infinite. And I've experienced merging with divine mind, moving through the universe, and looking at the majesty of the creation of Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh. I'm looking at the handiwork of my hands, and I can tell you I've experienced that it's majestic, and there's nothing like it. Oh, each of you that have these qualities and seek these qualities among your friends, we're going to have a grand time together. Can you imagine it? It's nothing but heaven, pure heaven. I love you. Why don't you stand now and just reach out and touch somebody's hand next to you and say, I look for the spirit of joy and peace and happiness, and the attributes that you have there with you, long-suffering and meekness and joy. I bless you, and I thank you for these wonderful, wonderful attributes. And until tomorrow night, may the peace of Yud-Heh-Wav-Heh rest between us until we're together once again. Much peace, much love. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom. Tomorrow night.